Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
A behavioral consultant who went through my mentoring program sent me a news item about a border collie who stands alongside a highway and spins every time a car goes by. And because this is a fairly busy highway, this dog does a lot of spinning. She was curious about the behavior, not only of the border collie, but also about her own dog, who would see shadows on the ceiling and often circle and bark. Circling and spinning behaviors are not uncommon in dogs. A lot of times, they're viewed as problems referred to as obsessive-compulsive displays or stereotypic displays. And often they're attributed to things like the ubiquitous chemical imbalance, early trauma, that sort of thing. With this behavior, as with all others, I approach it from the standpoint of normal. If you look at most so-called problem behaviors, they're not particularly unique. You can find the roots of these behaviors if you know where to look. So behaviors that are perceived as problematic might have very ancient and practical roots. So where do we normally see circling in animals? Well, if we start with young animals, circling's pretty doggone common. Puppies, kittens, they're always chasing their tails. When they play with their litter mates, running in circles is a common thing. As puppies grow older, they'll engage in what's sometimes called the zoomies, this incredible celebration, joyous celebration of having all that energy and just being alive, and they just run and run and run and run and run. And they run in circles. Do they run in circles because they have a chemical imbalance or because they're brain damaged? No. They run in circles because if you have all that energy and you ran in a straight line, you'd get too far away from your mom. You'd get too far away from the other adults, the protection of the pack. And so you run in circles. And have you ever noticed with behaviors that if they occur in a large enough space, we say they're normal. But if they occur in a smaller space, we say they're compulsive or they're stereotypic or there's something wrong with them. So if we have wild dogs or wolves that have a big meadow to run in, they can run circles all day and we don't think, there's something seriously wrong with that animal. But if we take that same amount of youthful energy and potential and we put it in a small yard or worse, in a room, single room in the house, all of a sudden that same amount of energy manifested in a smaller space becomes problematic to us. So in young animals is one place where we see perfectly normal circling behavior. Another place we see it is in adult animals who engage in cooperative or group hunting. For example, wolves and wild dogs going after larger prey come in from the back and they circle around the group and they get it moving. Now, thinking back to what we know from the studies of domestication, that the mind and the body co-evolve, what would be the mental corollary of a rounding up situation? Well, in a home, it could be the dog's attempt to try to keep all family members in view at the same time. And so the dog circles, physically circles these people in an attempt to keep them all grouped together. But what if the dog can't do that? What if the structure of the house is such that one person's in one room and someone else is in another room? Or what if one person wants the dog to go out, but that means leaving other people at home? Then the dog becomes stressed. The dog doesn't know which way to go because it can't be at two or three or four places at the same time. Now, what happens next relative to this behavior? Whether it becomes naturally extinguished when the stress passes, or whether it continues and becomes generalized to other areas, depends on the result of the spinning. So with our little puppies running around in circles with the zoomies or chasing their tails, they get tired and they stop. And obviously the animals engaged in group hunting either catch their prey or they don't, and that ends that behavior. So why does it get perpetuated? Why does it cross the line from a normal stress-relieving behavior into an obsessive-compulsive one, or one that makes us think this animal has a chemical imbalance or a screw loose? Well, as behaviorists are wont to say, behaviors that are rewarded will be repeated and those that aren't won't be. In the case of the border collie by the road, we could say that that behavior is reinforced by the passage of the cars. But for the companion animals, the animals that are house pets, a lot of times the reinforcement, wittingly or unwittingly, comes from the owners. Some owners like the behavior. They think it's funny when the puppy chases its tail. They think it's funny when the adult animal is so stressed it spins out of frustration. And they laugh. And they reward the behavior. And if the relationship's such that the dog needs to keep the owner's attention focused on the animal under certain circumstances, then whenever stressful events occur, whether they're stressful to the animal or the owner or both, the animal spins. Equally reinforcing are negative responses to the spinning. The owner who says, "Stop it," or "Don't do that." Or the owner who tries to distract the spinning animal with a toy or a piece of food. These are all equally rewarding, and so the behavior continues. And then at some point somebody says, "Well, this is getting out of hand. We must have a chemical imbalance here. We need drugs." And so it goes. So once again, we can see how our domestic animals and our companion animals take those same displays that served their ancient ancestors so well in coping with far, far different situations. The same behaviors enable our companion animals to achieve stability in their lives with us.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, "Molly on the Shore" by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.